wonderful to hear the argument for a change. If you're able to stand for the call to worship. God alone is our refuge and hope, our shelter and protection.
From our very first breath to our last, God's love and compassion never fails.
So come, lift your voices in praise to God.
Bear witness to God's acts of mercy and love.
Proclaim God's glory to all who will listen.
Let's worship God together.
And now let us sing Breathe on Me, Breath of God, found on page 420.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm glad to see everyone here. Glad you decided to come. I know it's always challenging on holiday weekends. So many people are busy with other things. Many are away and many are out boating or camping or sightseeing. So I'm glad to see you here, especially our visitors. Welcome. I appreciate that. We had a very busy week this week. Not only did the Tiffany's welcome in a new grandson, Finn is his name, down in Amarillo, isn't he? Okay. But we also had my mother-in-law, Boots, move back in with us. For those that aren't aware, her husband had passed back in 2009, and we finished our lower level of our house for her, and she moved in and lived with us for 5.5 years. And when we got boring, she decided she wanted to be around some happy-go-lucky seniors like herself and moved into an apartment in Grand Rapids. And she's been gone for about 4 years now, but we're glad to have her back, her and her dog, Gunny. So that's wonderful. I had a funny incident yesterday. I was over at Best Buy picking up one of those baby monitors so we can monitor her Boots as she was downstairs and we're upstairs in case she ever needed any help. And as I walked out of the store, there was a man standing there. He had a mid-sized car, which wasn't too small, but wasn't too large either. And there was a Best Buy person with him, and on the cart was a 65-inch TV, this high, this big. And he's looking at the car, and he's looking at the TV. And he's looking at the car again, and the Best Buy guy's just shaking his head. So the whole clue there is if you're going to get a big TV, either have a big vehicle or have it delivered, because it wasn't going to happen. Well, I want to lead you to, now in our prayer time. We're going to have a silent prayer first, and then I'll give a pastoral prayer, and then we'll follow up together with the Lord's Prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you this holiday weekend joyful that we have wonderful weather, we have time to be together to worship you, and we're able to celebrate all that goes on, all that we experienced this summer, and all that we're looking forward to this fall. We thank you for this time. Lord, we pray for all of those that need your prayers, especially those down in Odessa where we had that unfortunate shooting. Once again, 5 individuals killed and 21 wounded. Lord, please be with them and their families. And Lord, we certainly need to all work together to find peace, peace in our hearts, peace in our minds, peace in our country and in our world so that people aren't attacking people and continuing this madness. Lord, give us that peace. Give us your understanding and knowledge that we are all your children and that you love us, and we need to love each other instead of continually trying to harm each other. Lord, we pray that you are with our military personnel that are in this country as well as around the world. And Lord, once again, we pray that their focus is on bringing peace and not war, and settling situations in a positive way and not going negative. Lord, we pray that our leaders also have those thoughts and that they will guide us forward in the way that you wish us to be led so that we understand, first of all, that you are God and that you are the creator of all, but also that you do love us and that you want peace and you want justice and you want things to go in a positive way. Lord, give them that knowledge and give them the strength of encouraged to pursue that, to put aside their own agendas and work for you. Lord, we pray for the churches of this area, especially this church, Lord, that you are here amongst us, and regardless how large or how small our congregation may be, that we know that you are the basis of everything, and we're here to worship you. Lord, we pray that you're with the Tiffany's and with the new grandson, Finn. You're also with the others that are on the other side that you're with our friends Steve and Pam, as Steve's mother is approaching her last days this weekend, and that you give them the courage to go through this and the knowledge that you are there with them, and that she's going to be much better off living in your kingdom. Lord, we also pray that you're with others that have lost loved ones, and you give them the peace and the understanding that they require to get through these tragic times. Lord, we pray all these things in your Son's name, and we join together in saying the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll now sing Jesus' Name Above All Names in the Faith We Sing hymnal 2071. And we'll sing it twice. As we've been doing throughout the summer, I will now offer up a prayer for healing, at which time, after I finish and pause, you're able to state the names of the individuals that you would like prayers for. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits,
who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now our usher will assist in collecting our offerings. Thank you. Heavenly Father, please accept these, our offerings, in our very lives in your service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, this is one of my favorite songs, so let's do it.
Thank you.
like the last hymn.
Oh, thank you. The scripture reading is Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10, found on page 662 of your pew Bibles. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I point you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Good morning again. For those that aren't aware, I'm the lay minister here. Our regular minister is taking a day off, which is much deserved. But I do enjoy the time that I am able to speak with you. Will you pray with me a moment? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be found pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Belief is a strange thing because it's so personal. What you believe or I believe may or may not be shared by any others. And most probably, if it is shared at all, it isn't shared in the same way, with the same understanding, the same focus, or the same intensity. Beliefs also don't necessarily reflect or depend on facts as we currently know them. We just accept them as being real, whether or not they are truly provable in a scientific sense. As a result, the total set of things we believe, truly believe, is in all likelihood unique to each of us. As some would say, we create our own reality. And there's nothing wrong with that, no matter how odd the concept may sound. Some of the beliefs we hold are foundational, meaning they act as the footings upon which we build and shape our lives. Others are merely things we accept as true but don't really think about much day to day, such as gravity or the earth spinning in its orbit around the sun, resulting in us experiencing day and night over and over again, believing that that cycle will never stop, but continue forever. And the rest of our beliefs fall somewhere in between. Because people believe so many different things and in so many different ways, it's always been difficult to get someone to be open to new ideas, new thoughts, or new ways of seeing things. We tend to think we know it all and don't really want to hear anything else. This is especially true when it comes to ourselves. We all have very definite beliefs regarding ourselves, what we can do, what we can't do, what we like, what we don't like, who we truly are, and who we want you to think we are. We like to believe that we really know ourselves, but quite often we're wrong. And if we're wrong about something as foundational as our self-perception, how does that impact all of our other beliefs? One belief that is unfortunately common today is a feeling that we aren't enough. We aren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough or handsome enough, not thin enough, not tall enough, not happy enough, not witty enough, not rich enough, and certainly not spiritual enough. And this is true regardless of gender, race, nationality, religious background, or socioeconomic level. People from all walks of life struggle with the thought that they're not enough. There's so much pressure in our society to measure up, to compare ourselves to others, that becomes overwhelmingly depressing, resulting, I feel, in the epidemic of suicides we've seen, both intentional and unintentional, those being usually due to drugs or alcohol abuse. We continue to see those more and more. Everyone is trying to measure up. And when we feel, and when they feel that they failed at that, they simply give up. And some simply check out. What we need to realize is that God doesn't see us that way. In His eyes, we are all His children. None of us perfect, but all of us priceless in His sight. Just the way we are. Regardless if we live in the shadows on the street or in a mansion on the lake, we are His, and He wants only good things for us. We just need to believe Him and let go of all the self-hate and shame that comes from thinking that we don't measure up. Here's a story on this topic I'd like to share with you. It's called You Are Who God Says You Are by Sharon Janes. I became a Christian when I was a teenager. But even after I made a commitment to follow Christ, feelings of inferiority, insecurity, and inadequacy held me hostage. The dirge of I'm not good enough was a song I couldn't get out of my head. The lies of the enemy kept me fenced in and kept God's best at bay. I felt I was always disappointing God, and certainly a disappointment to myself. I tried the best I could to be the best I could, but in my mind, I always fell short. So I settled into a stagnant faith, a safe faith, a stuck faith, with other defeated believers who falsely saw themselves through a filter of past sins and failures, rather than through the lens of their new identity in Christ. After high school, I went to college, where I met and married an awesome Christian man. About 4 years later, I became a mom. Life was good, except for this termite-like gnawing in my gut that I just didn't quite measure up to all the other church moms with their smiling faces. I walked around with the fear that one day I would be found out, that one day folks would figure out I wasn't all I was cracked up to be. I lived under an undefined, self-imposed standard of approval. Childhood echoes of, you're so ugly, and what's wrong with you, and you can't do anything right, left me feeling flawed. I sat in Bible study groups like someone in a hospital waiting room, hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. My greatest fear was that I'd be no closer to being free of the insecurity than before the study began. In my mid-30s, I sat under the teaching of an older woman in my church. She opened my eyes to the truths in Scripture about who I was as a Christ follower, what I had, and where I was as a child of God. I'd read those verses scattered throughout Scripture before, but when she encouraged me to cluster them together into one list, God began a new work in my heart. You are chosen. You are dearly loved. You are holy. These truths were right there on the pages of my Bible in black and white, and a few in red. You are a saint. You are free from condemnation through Christ's death. You have the mind of Christ. You can do all things through Christ. I knew the verses were the infallible word of God, but I felt rather squeamish hearing them, reading them, and believing them. While I was studying about my true identity, the devil taunted me with accusations. Who do you think you are? A saint? Are you kidding? This stuff might be true for some people, but it's certainly not true for you. One day I felt God asking me an important question. Who are you going to believe? I was at a crossroads, one you might be standing at this very moment. Was I going to believe God and begin seeing myself as God saw me? Was I going to continue believing the lies of the enemy and the echoes of my past? Was I going to remain stuck in a stagnant faith because I was too insecure to take a step towards the abundant life Jesus had promised? Or was I going to march confidently around the walls of my inadequacies until they came tumbling down? Finally, I prayed, Dear God, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe who you say I am. I don't feel it. I can barely think it. But I'm going to believe your word is true for me and about me. Heavenly Father, thank you for choosing me to be your child. Today I choose to believe I am who you say I am, your holy, dearly loved child, equipped by you, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and enveloped in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought that was a great story. Because it says we don't need to feel the pressure to measure up. God already loves us just the way we are. Don't you think it's time we believe what He says and accept that fact? Here's another great story. It's called What God Says About Me. It's by Jenny the Jewel. I was born with Down syndrome over 30 years ago. This makes some things very difficult for me. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time asking God, why did you make me with Down syndrome? Why can't I be normal like other people? I told him all the time that I didn't like having Down syndrome. I kept thinking that if only I didn't have Down syndrome, I would be happy. I thought that somehow God made a mistake when He made me. My mom and dad always told me they loved me so deeply and that they could not love me anymore. But somehow, deep down in my heart, I always wondered if they would love me more if I didn't have Down syndrome. When I was in high school, the kids on the school bus were very mean to me. They laughed at me and mocked me, and they called me all kinds of bad names and told me that even my parents couldn't love me. That hurt me so deeply. When I got off the school bus in the afternoon, I would be crying. My mom would meet me at the door, and we would talk and pray every day. She told me that people used to say bad things about Jesus and call Him names too. So He understood exactly how I felt. She told me that the real truth is only found in God's Word and not in what other people say about me. She told me that if I could find anywhere in the Bible where God calls me bad names or said I was a mistake, she would pay me $5,000. I spent a lot of time reading the Bible to find out what God said about me. All the scriptures I found said just the opposite. So I never did get the $5,000. Some of my favorite scriptures are Psalm 139:14, where God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God tells me in Psalm 17, I am the apple of His eye. In Deuteronomy 7:6, God tells me that I am His treasured possession. In Philippians 4:8, God tells me to think about whatever is true, noble, right, pure, and lovely. I like to think about the truth that God tells me and spend my time thinking about what God says is true. The last scripture I want to share is Psalm 119:114. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in Your word. My confidence and hope is in God. I know now that instead of being a mistake, I am the Lord's treasured possession. I like to memorize scripture and fill my mind with the truth of who God says I am. This understanding has made all the difference in my life. Now I recognize that God has a plan for my life, and He created me just the way I am, excuse me, for His special purpose. I may still have Down syndrome, but instead of saying, if only I didn't have Down syndrome, I say, so what? I will glorify God just the way He made me. I know He loves me and cares for me with His whole heart. The Lord showed me that I am not a mistake, but I am a precious gift, His treasured possession. We have a choice to believe and fill our minds with God's truth, which will change our hearts, or listen to what other people say and be sad. It's a choice we each must make. In Exodus 4:10, Moses tells God he can't do what God told him to do because he was slow of speech and tongue. In Exodus 4:11, the Lord told him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. He made me just the way He made me, for just the special purpose I was created for. There is special work He has for me to do that can only be done by me, just the way He created me. If I spend my time wishing I was different, I will never get around to do the things that God wants me to do. Sometimes Satan tries to put thoughts into my head and tell me that I'm no good and stuff like that. That's when I remember the scripture in John 10:10 that says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to have it to the fullest." When Satan tries to put lies in my head, I beat him over the head with the truth of God. I do it over and over again as long as I have to. I know God has given me special gifts and talents, and my desire is to use them for His glory. I say it often, and I mean it. I love my life. God does not make any mistakes, and that's the truth. No matter what sometime we may think. As Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." Jesus is my best friend, and I love Him with all my heart, and I'm fully His. There is nothing more important in my life than pleasing Him, spending time loving Him, reading His Word, talking to Him, and sharing His love with other people. His joy fills my heart. If your heart is sad because you wish God had made you different, read in His Word the truth of what He says about you. Believe it and let Him change your heart. Nothing is impossible with God. He certainly did change my heart. Lord, I pray for each person that You would fill their heart with Your truth of who they really are and how much You love them. Amen. What a wonderful story, isn't it? The other week, Sherry and I were driving to Grand Rapids. We turned on the radio, and there was a song sung by someone we didn't know. But we really liked it. It was really moving. We found out later it was sung by a woman named Lauren Daigle. It's a song called "You Say." Its message touched us so much that it's the reason for this sermon today. It obviously touched many others since it's been the number one song on the Christian charts for the past year. And is currently number one on Billboard's Adult Contemporary charts, which is pretty amazing. When talking about the song, Lauren said, "I think a lot of times we build these complexes based on insecurity, based on fear, based on rejection, and lies that we have to constantly overcome. And so this song for me was just a reminder of identity. It was a reminder that I know when I'm weak, He's strong. So how do I change that and bring that into everyday life? When I feel inadequate, how is it that there's always these moments where I feel like God just steps in and supersedes my inadequacies? This entire song was so that every single day I would get up on stage and remind myself, no, this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. Don't get buried in confusion. Just remember to study the course, study the course." So the lyrics I handed out in your bulletin, if you wanted to follow along and understand exactly what she's saying, I'll fire it up here, and we can listen to her song.
Fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure love. Just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
What'd you think?
There's
a hold on. Sorry about that. You know, God loves each of us. He dearly wants us to know that. He also wants us to know that we have incalculable worth just as we are. With and through Him, we are enough. We just need to accept God at His word and believe what He says. He also wants us to know that we have skills and abilities beyond what we may have believed in the past. And with His help, we can aid those that are less fortunate. We are His hands, His feet, and His voice on this earth. He has blessed us to be a blessing to others. It's incumbent upon us to not only believe, but to share that belief with others and put that belief into action in whatever way we can. He loves us and is always here with us. The question now is, do we believe Him, and will we do as He says? Amen. Our last song is Here I Am, Lord, 593 in the hymnal. And I'll tell you, this is one that I can never sing. I've never gotten through it once because it's too emotional for me. I feel that I don't measure up, that I fail at achieving what He wants. But I'll keep trying.
Thank you.
join me in the benediction printed in your bulletin? Grant us, O Lord, that which we have spoken with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.